My heart is in my stomach right now because of the, it's on.
I know. Doesn't that feel weird?
Pressure. I can't. I'm going to crumble now. Now I need to hide.
Now I need to.
As soon as the pressure, the eyes are on, I can't do it.
The eyes aren't even eyes. That's the crazy part.
Yeah.
The eyes come in like 5 weeks from now.
Real eyes. No, no.
Real eyes. Yeah. Wait, what was I saying?
Welcome to the gifted child turned crippled. No.
Crippled anxious adult. There you go.
Because I'm not crippled. Like I
adult with crippling anxiety.
Welcome to the gifted child turned adult with crippling anxiety pipeline.
Here we are. We've made it. The train has moved down the tracks.
The train is chugging
right down to yep, what now. Lane? What lane? The train is chug-lugging along to Anxiety Lane.
Anxiety Lane?
That's where it's chug-lugging to.
Next stop, Yap Town.
Literally, because that's where we belong. For people who don't know who this is Dakota. This is Logan's cousin. We know each other. Only because of that, but we love each other.
Pretty much. It's the only reason.
I would have ever met you, to be honest, if me and Logan never would have gotten married. So.
No, I think there was too much of an age gap. I was way older.
Yeah. Why is it getting hot suddenly? Are you getting hot?
It's because I'm anxious.
I think that's why I am too. So anyway, this episode is titled, Telling Your Child That They're a World Changer Will Ruin Them. That's the episode title. And we're going to elaborate on that because right here we have a gifted child, a graduated gifted child.
Retired gifted child.
So I would like for you to elaborate on what a gifted child is.
So a gifted child, you're usually told that you're mature for your age. You have a collegiate reading level by the time you're in the third grade. For me personally, growing up, where I did, the schools didn't have an AI program. See? I'm out of here.
We're just not using this anymore. Y'all, we had to take this off. This is another extra light, and we're done. We're done here. Continue. So you read at a collegiate level in the third grade, which, yes, me too.
And now I'm hyperfixating on the fact that that light's not on. I'm going to give up on everything in life.
Yeah.
And I can't keep the microphone close enough.
Don't worry. I can cut literally everything that's not perfect out. That's the beauty about this.
This episode will be 3 seconds long, and it's the title, and that's it, because everything that's not perfect is cut out. So anyway, a gifted child, we're going to go back to that. A gifted child is somebody who is mature for their age. They can read on a collegiate level by like the third grade. They test into the AI program early, top of their class. They are the leaders of the next generation, which is a lot of pressure. And so say that you are 8 years old and you're in class and they're like, right here, we have the next future president. You're going to be the first woman president.
That was told to me way too many times that I can count.
Bro, I just want to be a ballerina.
Mm-hmm.
I
just want to work at Sonic and ride the skates while I give people their corn dogs.
I just want to pet my dog. Like, why do I suddenly have to be a leader? And mind you, I'm growing up in the generation after 9/11. And the president was a big thing. I mean, the president is arguably still a big thing. But
no, it's not.
We don't care anymore. It's done. You're done.
We've had too many, like, we've had, like, years of it not working, so we're done.
It's just the nursing home Olympics, and we're not with it anymore.
We're not with that.
So, just being told, one, that I, and not just me personally, other gifted children, but, you know, especially girls, too. Oh, you're going to be the first woman president. Women in politics. You could be the mayor. You can change everything. You should change everything. Ooh, that's a lot, because I was under the impression that I could just be a princess. I was under the impression that I could be a ballerina. And now I'm being told that I could be a rocket scientist. So, and then on top of that, the fact that there's a lot of problems in the world. And you're so smart, you can fix them. And so now I'm a child and other gifted children. Oh, I've got to fix it. There's a lot that I have to fix. I have to make sure that I use less trash. I have to turn off everything to save electricity. The world is crumbling and I have to fix it because I'm gifted and I'm different. I was literally built different, you know,
literally
built different. Anyway, so being told that you have to change the world is a lot of pressure for a kid. But now when you're a kid and you're gifted and everyone tells you you're a leader and that you can do all of these things, you're like, yeah, I can do all of these things. And then
you feel inspired.
You feel inspired and suddenly other people's dreams become your dreams, even though they weren't actually really your dreams, but you feel obligated to because you have these talents that other people don't have. Mm-hmm. It also creates a false sense of like an ego. Like it literally creates an inflated ego.
Mm-hmm.
For what? For someone else's gain. Because adults saw a smart child and instead of going, you have these talents, what do you want to use it for? They selfishly went, you have these talents, fix our problems.
So here's the deal. Now that you're speaking all of this in front of me, I'm coming to a realization that you unfortunately, and I unfortunately, you watched me be the result of what we're talking about. Whenever I was like 16 and 17.
Yeah, she's a disaster.
I was awful, even up until I was like 20.
No, I remember we had a conversation when you were younger and like, you know, just relatively new into the family. And you had said, I was destined for greatness.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, because Katie, you're somebody, a psychopath.
Somebody told me that. Actually, many people told me that. So I was like, this I have a calling on my
life. Oh my God. Yes. You used to say, I have a calling.
I have a calling.
And I was like, who was calling? Shut up. Go. Like,
well, and I would normal. Say that God was calling me to something, but it was really just literally everybody in my life telling me that I had to do something.
Exactly.
That I didn't actually have to do at all.
Exactly.
Because I'm literally on this earth for however many years I'm on this earth and then I'm dead. So.
And like, and older people, the older generation will use gifted children, outspoken children, children with leader type qualities.
People with social skills,
with
period.
Social skills, and tell them you need to do these things to fix this, which are problems that we created, instead of what do you want to do? What do you feel called to do? And so then you reach your peak and you're older, you're going to graduate high school. Now what? Well, then it all comes crashing down. And there are kids who can rise from it and they become great things. And then you have people like me who had undiagnosed mental illnesses and undiagnosed anxiety. And suddenly you're in a psych ward and suddenly you're dropping out of college because even though you're a part of the leadership program and you're the next leaders of America, you're trying to kill yourself in your dorm room because the pressure is too great.
Yeah.
And you don't
and
actually know who you are.
And that story is all too common when it shouldn't be.
Exactly. And there's so many people who are like that. But then you have the gifted child who is made to feel like a failure. Mm-hmm. And then, again, for me personally, you go back home where at the time therapy is not a thing. Knowing what's going on is not a thing. And people are like, well, what happened? Well, didn't we give you a scholarship? Like, what are you doing here? And how do you tell people, hey, I suck? Like,
which you don't, but that's the thing.
But like, you don't know.
Yeah. And the thing about pushing students to go to college straight out of high school, especially the gifted children and the children with like really high functioning personalities, because I was a gifted child whenever I was in early childhood education days. And then I moved to public school. And this is something that me and Logan have talked about a lot. I went to school, my first years of school and teaching happened in Arizona at a private Christian school. I learned cursive by kindergarten. I was at a collegiate reading level by the third grade, like you said. I was incredibly smart because I went to a private school where it was only 7 kids to a class and I got a lot of one-on-one attention. Mm-hmm. And then I went into my first year of public school ever in my life in the third grade in Yadkinville, North Carolina. That was 1 year in, no, sorry, that was the second grade. And then I started at China Grove Elementary in the third grade. And from there on out, I was in China Grove for the rest of my education. In North Carolina. Yeah. And Rowan Salisbury Schools, fun fact, is actually the worst of the worst, because even though they're not the worst ranked in the U.S. for like overall broad spectrum, they are the worst in the state for test scores. And North Carolina is like one of the worst in the country for test scores. So at that, Rowan Salisbury Schools is the worst of the worst. Mm-hmm. So whenever I transitioned from being taught in an environment as a kid with ADHD, severe ADHD, that was really serving me, to going to public school with 30 people to a class and moving classes all day and switching classes. And then you have the smart team, the dumb team, because that was a thing that happened also in the Rowan Salisbury school system.
Oh my gosh, yes.
You have the AIG kids that would get on one side of the hallway.
Team smart team.
Yeah, and then I was dumb team. They put me on dumb team because, get this, I went into school and they tested me like a guinea pig, and they would pull me out of instruction in the middle of the day to test my reading skills and place me into spelling bees. They took me out of instruction. So I ended up getting behind, and then I ended up being dumb team for the rest of my life and never took an honors class ever again because I couldn't get into them.
That's big yikes.
Mm-hmm. They literally ruined my education in every way possible. And so then, instead of being an academically gifted kid, I ended up having to overcompensate with my personality because I knew that I was gifted.
And we knew how that turned out.
Yes, it did not turn out well for me. I was the most cancelable teen, and it was awful, and it was really embarrassing. And part of the reason I'm starting this podcast is to quite redeem myself.
Okay. We love pulling our skeletons out of the closet and beating them.
Mm-hmm. In front of everybody.
In front of everybody.
Public execution.
Public execution of our closet skeletons.
Yes, my demons. They are public. Okay?
So that's like, but it goes back to like everyone in your community, especially in your church, told you that you needed to change the world because you had a voice, you had, and it was the same for me. Everyone said, Dakota, you control a room, you command a room. Mm-hmm. People look at you and they want to listen to you. Adults told me that. Children did not tell me that. And so I created enemies because I was told that I could command a room. And when I walked into a room, everyone wanted to listen to me. That was not the case. My peers did not want to listen to me.
Exactly. No, I was told that every time I walked into a room, people wanted to listen to me. And then I later found out that nobody actually cared. And all of them were making fun of me.
Same.
Literally all of them were making fun of me.
I was the drum major. And I was told that I was the next leader and that I had what it takes and that everyone wanted to hear what I had to say. And turned
out, why do you think I started a podcast? Because I still think that people want to hear what I have to say.
You guys don't know this, but I muted her a long time ago. And I actually am only listening to myself because I'm just kidding.
What, we just pulled the bars down. It's fine.
Is that beeping sound over and over that's happening? Literally every time Katie talks, that's my brain's just, no, I'm kidding. But it's again, you walked into a room and you know, you have adults telling you you're going to change the world and all these people want to listen to you, but your peers didn't actually want to listen to you. And so then because I had an outspoken personality, whereas yes, there were these other gifted children, but they didn't have that social aspect of it. They were quiet gifted, which has benefited them. They've all gone on to do great things. The way you look at it, I mean, I have in some ways, and but that's taken a lot to like process as well. That's been a lot of therapy to realize that, no, I'm not where they are, but I'm where I need to be.
Yes.
But I didn't change the world in doing any of that. I didn't have to become a doctor. I didn't have to become a politician. I didn't have to go on these big excursions and clean up litter and do all of these things scientifically, mathematically, like none of that. I'm a stay-at-home mom.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. People want to act like being a stay-at-home mom is just a season of your life that is insignificant and it's just something you have to do.
Yeah.
And that it's not changing anything and it's not benefiting anyone and you're just sitting around and you clean a house and you watch kids and then that's your day. But when in reality, you're honestly doing the hardest work that there is in the entire world, which is raising children.
Speak on it.
It's a big deal to raise children because you're raising the next generation of gifted kids that aren't going to be told that they have to change the world. They just get to find their passion.
Exactly. And in doing so, the world will get changed.
Yes.
It's exactly what it is. I make a point not to tell my children. I do not place the burdens of the adult world on them.
Also, the you have to use your talents, because if you don't use your talents, you're going to waste talent.
Exactly.
That part really.
Exactly. That burns me up.
Because your kids are really talented.
My kids are very talented.
And you don't force them up on a stage and make them do things in front of people unless they ask.
Exactly. I'm very much about letting my kids shine naturally. I comfort them, and you can probably hear them screaming in the background right now.
All of our kids are in the backyard with Mimi, okay?
Yes. She's taking care of them, and we're just letting nature take its course.
Indeed.
And that's why there's a lot of screaming. But I never tell my children that the problems of the world are their problems. I never bring up money, because that's irrelevant. They literally cannot grasp that.
No,
my oldest is 7, and then I have a 4-year-old, and then I have, an almost 3-year-old, which is disgusting to say that we have an almost 3-year-old.
Both of us.
Yeah.
That makes me want to throw up.
They're a day apart.
Yeah.
They are one day apart. But I make a point to never tell them that they have to change the world. Maximus, my oldest, wildly intelligent. Are not talking to a 7-year-old. You are talking to, a 13-year-old.
I was literally going to say 13.
Yeah, how he carries himself and how he's very intellectual. He's very logical. But he also has a lot of anxiety because he's so smart. He's very much a gifted child, and with that comes a lot of that excess anxiety, because you're so logically intelligent, but your brain, it literally cannot fathom and conceptualize adult problems. And so that's a huge, huge issue that we have with him, is trying to find that balance without creating that anxiety, because the anxiety is already there, but it's, how do we move forward with that? I never tell him he has to change the world. I never tell him. Honestly, he doesn't even really know what politicians are. We haven't gone over government
and
stuff yet.
And honestly, keep it that way.
It doesn't, it's irrelevant at this point. It doesn't
so
matter.
Is.
And there's minor things that we can go over, but he doesn't have to go make laws. He doesn't have to change things. He doesn't have to do anything.
He doesn't have to go on mission trips that are dangerous to prove that he's a good person.
Exactly.
At me.
At Katie going to Africa.
And making it my whole personality for 3 years.
Hang on, whip out the tattoo.
Yeah, and I'm getting it covered. I don't whip out the tattoo. I wear long socks on purpose. See.
Behind the map. It's on Katie's leg. But no, so being the gifted child to adult with crippling anxiety pipeline has now led me into being the mother of a gifted child. And what am I going to do with that? And
seeing it through a whole different lens.
Exactly, through a whole different lens. And as a mother now, and how I talk to him, it just baffles me at how adults talk to me and expected these things from me. And I can never imagine looking at my first grader and telling him that he needs to be the president to fix things.
It's absurd.
I can't fathom that, because I want him to just do what he loves. And other people have mentioned to him money and making good money and what you need to do in the world.
You could be a lawyer is what I was always told. You could be a lawyer. You'd be such a good lawyer.
Oh, my God. Okay, so we have jokingly told Max that he could be a lawyer because he loves... we tell him it's because he loves arguing the wrong point all day long.
Yes. Yes.
And we're like, Max, just go be a lawyer and at least make money for arguing the wrong point.
That's a very lighthearted way to say
exactly.
That. It's when people talk in absolutes to kids.
Like, you need to do this.
You have to do this because the world depends on it.
Exactly. Okay, I will never forget. I was in the 4th grade and my dad asked me if I wanted to be a politician when I was older. And I said no, because I'm not a liar. And he laughed. Fun fact, I had no idea what a politician was, and I was only regurgitating things that I had heard.
Mm-hmm.
But I was saying what I wanted to be heard to get a reaction to say that, oh, she's
smart.
Yeah, exactly.
She's so funny. She's so smart.
Exactly. I mean, I am funny, but no,
you are.
So it's like for me to look at my kids and see that they are very clearly gifted and how they will naturally, it's not about changing the world. It's about if you can help change somebody else's day. Mm-hmm. Even if that is by being a kind person, even if it's literally just by being a kind person one day to somebody, and then maybe that person goes on to do something else. Like, it's just the butterfly effect of things that you can create. And so I am in a way changing the world by raising my kids in a different way. But like, it doesn't have to be some huge impactful thing. It doesn't have to be a historical event.
It can be impactful on its own without us saying anything about it.
Exactly.
Like, it just can. And something that I was told a lot as a kid that stuck with me for years, especially with like growing up as a preacher's daughter, and it's very all eyes on you type of deal. I have been a gifted singer since I was a young child. Okay. And my parents, they did the whole, you have to sing, you have to be at church and you have to sing, you have to use your voice because people need to hear it and it's going to change their lives. And that burden was placed on me at like 3. And I started developing a severe issue with being able to share my talent. And it snowballed into me holding my talents away from people. And the only thing that I thought was worthy of attention was just me as a person with my small little personality that would just pop out in social mm-hmm. situations. But I had all of these talents, and whenever people would hear me sing, or they would hear me, like they would see me do some kind of work, or they would see me do art or something, then they would be absolutely shocked that like I'm so good at something, but I'm not sharing it with people. And I remember, my dad, one time I was in the bathroom and I never, ever, ever would sing out loud in the house because mm-hmm. I didn't want my parents to hear me and talk about how much I need to use my voice. Because every single time, the reason why I didn't sing and why I still am having a hard time using that talent, practicing that talent, playing instruments, all of that stuff, is because the second I start playing something or singing something, my parent, people from my church, people from my community, friends, whoever it may be, but it is always adults. It's always adults that were bigger than me as a kid. They would tell me every time in the middle of me doing something, they wouldn't say, you are so talented, and just leave it. Mm-hmm. It would be, you are so talented and you have to use it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't allowed to be talented without having a job. So now here I am leaving the photography industry after almost 8 years of doing a talent as a job, and now I hate the talent.
The chokehold society has with monetizing talent is crazy.
I don't need to make money off of something I'm good at. Can I not just enjoy having a hobby? Exactly. We aren't allowed to have hobbies anymore.
Exactly. Because hobbies you're supposed don't to exist. Monetize it. You're supposed to reimburse yourself with what you've done. That's why I don't really paint anymore. Because when I found that I could paint, and people were like, you need to sell your paintings. And then again, as a gifted child, because if I don't do it perfect, and if people don't love it immediately, it's trash. I have to throw it away. It's garbage.
So that
I can't
leaves
share
you
it with the world.
With having mental breakdowns trying to do stuff.
Exactly. Things that I once enjoyed, I now have crippling anxiety over because it has to be perfect. I have to get this brushstroke just right. If no one buys this, it's because I'm garbage.
Tell me why to this day I still cannot sing in the car at full volume in front of my own husband because of the trauma that it had placed on my life and how much guilt I hold whenever I use my voice because I'm scared if somebody hears it, they're going to tell me that I'm doing something wrong and mm-hmm. that I'm not monetizing off of it enough. Mm-hmm. And I remember I told my chorus teacher, I will never forget, she put me in my place so hard. She put me in my place so hard and she honestly hated me. And I know why she hates me and why she hated me as a teenager.
We love self-reflection.
But I walked up to her and I told her because she wouldn't let me into honors chorus because I couldn't read sheet music as a singer. I could only read it for instruments and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't understand like how to change the notes in my voice by mm-hmm. looking at the paper. I could only do things by ear. And I wasn't willing to learn how to read it. I just was like, but I know how to do it. I can hear it one time and I can do it exact.
Go back to inflated ego that's created by being constantly told you're talented
exactly.
and gifted.
Yes. So I told her, basically, I didn't say it like this because I was actually like really nice about it, but it was very passive aggressive. But I basically said in a nutshell, you should be ashamed of yourself because I'm going to be on stages and arenas one day, basically is what I told her. In a nutshell, that's the synopsis of what I said. And I stopped taking chorus. She absolutely hated me, as she should. And I remember, like, that has stuck with me for years, because who put that in my brain?
Exactly.
That I was going to do that.
Because it gave you a sense of, like, being better than everybody. It gave you, again, the inflated ego and this, like, absolute, like, I am better than everyone.
Yeah, because I'm gifted and everybody else is not.
Exactly. I'm going to change the world. All eyes on me. I'm going to do this.
You're just normal.
Yeah, you're literally just, you can read faster than everybody else. You can sing on pitch. Great job.
Your brain just moves a little bit quicker than everybody else. And that's literally all it is. You are a normal person.
Yeah. And so to be raised and to be made to think that you're better than everybody, like almost like a supremacy type thing.
It is a supremacy.
Like to believe that you are better than other people just because, oh, you're smarter than them. You tested higher than them. You can read faster than them. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, can we not put that in check? Like, there's a time and a place for an ego. There always is. But inflated ego and toxic ego and feeding into literal children who cannot conceptualize adult things, and then just kind of, okay, we gave you all this stuff and the burdens, and here you go, do it.
It also causes children in high school specifically, because this was something that I experienced, it causes children to have beef with adults for no reason.
Oh my God, the way I talked to adults was unreal.
Well, like, you have beef with adults because you think that you are smarter than them.
Yes.
And you think that they are idiots because you've been told to have an inflated ego, and they are just trying to correct something within you, and you think that it's your place to put them in their place.
Yeah. One of my things I used to say all the time, and this is so, so toxic and so cringe, and I cringe thinking about it. But if you know me now, you know that anytime I like say or do something, I say, sorry, y'all, I'm stupid. I can't read. Like, I'll preface anything with, I can't read. I don't know what's going on. And it's like, because I have been humbled. But I used to walk into a room. I used to argue with anybody. There's a reason I deleted social media for a while, because I felt like it gave me a platform for no reason. No reason. I had no business.
Why do you think I went private and like removed everybody?
Because I needed to shut up. But I used to walk into a room and I'd be like, I'm the smartest person in this room. I was not, in fact, the smartest person in that room.
I just have a little note card for everybody. If somebody walks into a room and they seem super confident and you're jealous of the confidence that they exude and they command a room, they're probably really struggling with a lot. They're probably really, and they might not be struggling with it at the moment. They might actually be that confident, but there's a reason behind that.
Yeah.
There's an ego behind that. Not
there is.
There is nobody that's confident without a blazing ego.
Exactly.
Nobody.
And then that's where like gifted children are not taught how to balance the ego and the confidence. Because fun fact, your ego is created when you're a child to help protect you, mm-hmm. right? But then it's as we grow as adults. Yeah, it's what you do with your ego and whether you get your ego back in check and you keep it healthy, or whether you let your ego run rampant.
Ego is like a balloon. And what you said at the beginning of this episode, where you had said just casually, I was in a psych ward. Let's just put this into perspective. Your ego balloon was inflated and inflated and inflated. And that was a moment where it popped.
It did, yeah. That and the borderline personality disorder. But
yeah,
you know, they held hands and then they hold hands, though,
because themselves. I think that a lot of mental disorders are often grown into,
exactly. To be honest. And I would even go as far to say that with my borderline personality disorder, because I created a different persona for everything, which did come from trauma mm-hmm. as a child, without like outright flipping into a completely new person. That's dissociative identity disorder. I was just shy of that. But I created different personas and
yeah, I mask a lot.
I split a lot. And the gifted child of me experiencing that and having to live that, going to school and being a part of functions and those sort of things as the gifted child was a completely different personality. And I suffered from insomnia literally since I was 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't sleep.
I did too.
And mine wasn't awake at night.
Mine wasn't borderline. Mine was, complex post-traumatic stress.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've been diagnosed with. And they overlap a lot
mm-hmm.
because the symptoms that manifest from CPTSD it's just very similar because it's basically caused by the same issues.
Yeah.
But the difference is that P- people with CPTSD, they typically have more stable relationships because they have more
can't
of like
relate.
A yeah, and that's like that's a symptom of borderline is like not being able to have like stable relationships.
Ask Katie how many times I've blocked her.
A lot.
Look, we fixed it. We've worked on it.
And it's fine. We really do like each other a lot now.
We have to take a mom break.
He does, in fact, have poop in his diaper. Was this Maverick
diaper,
or my yeah, child?
My child. I have to change a diaper.
Logan's mom came and surprised me and Derek by driving up here with her today with all of the kids. And she's outside with all of them right now.
And Maverick has gifted me something. And I do need to go take
We can,
care
in fact,
that.
Pause this.
Can we pause this really quick?
We can pause.
Okay, let's pause this.
We will pick up where we left off here. We have returned.
We're back. Welcome back to the Gifted Child to Adult with Crippling Anxiety Pipeline.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
We're working on getting through this for the last little bit now that the children are inside. They did not want to stay outside any longer. They've reached their limit, unfortunately. So here we are. They're all locked in Derek's room.
I don't know what to do with my hands, and I just keep getting tangled in all the
cords. That's why I hold this, because I don't know what to do with my hands here.
I have performance pressure, so I'm going to be...
Do you remember where we left off?
I have no idea. This is what happens when you become a mom.
Yes.
And then your brain is in like 7,000 places all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just all the time.
Oh, wait. I can't hear you.
Hello?
Yes. Now?
I'm special.
I can tell.
I'm a little...
You're a gifted child.
I was a formerly gifted child, and now I'm slow.
Yes.
I think it takes you into a realm of like overthinking everything.
Yeah.
Whereas like once when everything came so naturally to you and then like you finally you met something that didn't come immediately natural and you were immediately good at. And then that's why like if it's not perfect, we can't do it. If we think we're going to mess it up, we just won't try. Like I'm very much like I'm not even going to try to fix this microphone because one, I'm afraid I'm going to break your equipment. And two, I don't want footage of me doing it wrong.
Because that's so vulnerable.
It is. It's vulnerable. And I'm not going to expose myself like that. So I would rather just play dumb.
Yes.
As opposed to being wrong.
So I want to talk about how this manifests as an adult. Because I want to go into things that I struggle with as an adult now that I am a graduated. I hear children screaming. now that I'm a graduated.
Those are happy squeals.
Gifted child. Yes, they are happy squeals. I want to talk about how that has manifested into me as an adult and the things I've had to deprogram within myself. And then I want you to elaborate on your side of such. So as I've talked about on this episode specifically, I went on a trip to Africa because somebody told me.
Okay, pause. Hang on. Guys, when Katie went on her trip to Africa and she came back, that is all we heard about.
Mm-hmm.
I am not kidding you. We had a joke because Katie talked about jet lag a lot. And I don't know if we've ever told you this before, but we had a joke because anytime we turned around, you were like, oh, it's because I have jet lag. And it had been like 2 weeks. And you were like, oh, it's because I have jet lag.
Really?
Yes. Dude, I'm not kidding y'all. She talked about jet lag all the time.
That's how much I have like blocked that part of my life out.
Yeah. So like you came back and then like we got back together as a family or something like a month later. And you were like, sorry, I'm behind. I have jet lag. And me and Steven were like... And this is this. Okay.
See, I like literally don't even remember anything because I've literally blocked it out.
Steven had also just come back from like Germany or Poland or something like that. So
and he's
also,
like, I don't have
it. He also had jet lag. But so anytime he wouldn't do something I told him to, he'd be like, sorry, I have jet lag.
You want to know what it reminds me of is on Hannah Montana, that she was on a red eye flight from LA to Tennessee. And she said, I have jet lag. Because no. She went from LA to Tennessee.
Literally, that was you though. You had jet lag over like everything. And so for the longest time, we had
I think
a joke.
Somebody told me that what jet lag was, and they told me it was they defined it in the wrong way.
And then you
so
just like,
I
ran
thought
with
that
it?
Every time that I was tired, it was jet lag. I think that's what it was.
We were at like Thanksgiving later that year and we were like, Katie, you still have jet lag? And she was like, what?
Because by then I probably found out what jet lag meant, to be honest, because, you know.
It was like every time we turned around, it was about Africa or it was about jet lag. And so that became like it became an inside joke for us about jet lag and anything to do with Africa. Like we'd go to the grocery store. Have you heard about my trip to Africa?
Because that's what I was.
It really was. And like for us to be able to sit here and talk about it, I think is hilarious. But there was a point where it was like, Katie was Africa.
I was.
Okay, continue.
I was the continent of Africa. But I like, whenever I went on this trip, I was told, well, my thing is whenever you get told as a kid that you are supposed to be doing things because you're talented, because you are gifted, because you're social, because you people will listen to you, because you have influence, whatever it may be, every opportunity that I had from sitting in church and somebody who was a guest speaker got on the podium and said, we need people to come on this trip because we need world changers, or we need whatever. I thought that
this is me.
God,
it's my time to shine.
I thought that God himself was speaking through that person to me. And any point of their eyeballs going in my direction, they were talking to me and nobody else in the room.
Which can also segue us into how being raised as a gifted child and also in the church, how you can lose your discernment for God talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're being filled. Yeah, because you're being filled with these worldly things, and you lose the ability, if you ever even had that ability at that time in your walk, to hear what God is trying to tell you. And again, everything is in his grand plan, and it's going to work the way ultimately for his design. You know, you have free will. There are those things that go into it. But as a gifted child, and where everyone is telling you you need to do these things, it becomes really hard to know what God wants for you and from you and what you should be doing, which yes. Like as an adult becomes something, you know, and obviously some people figure it out sooner than others. But for me as an adult, finding that fine line of getting back to like
when God is talking to me versus when a person is literally just talking to a grand room of people.
And it's chance.
Yeah.
There's it's just whoever's in the circumstance room that feels compelled. God's design.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this goes into something else where like people will, there's like great churches in the world. You are a part of a church that you believe is great for you, is great mm-hmm. for your family. I'm not living in that area, so I cannot attend. But I cannot put myself in the position of church at the current moment because I am still healing from a lot of things mm-hmm. as a pastor's daughter.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to find the one that like really is going to stick with me. But the biggest reason why I have a fear of stepping into a building where people are gathered together to worship God is because I felt like every time I walked into a room like that, I had to figure out what was going on in the church. Was the air conditioning too cold? Were the lights too blinding? Was the music too loud? Is somebody uncomfortable? Because as a pastor's daughter, you're like recruited with that job. Mm-hmm. Like just trying to figure out how do we make it better for everybody else. And then you have speakers. And then as the preacher's kid, the speakers talk to you after the service, which is not normal for everybody else. So you usually, as the pastor's kid, you're going to lunch with those speakers mm-hmm. after the church meeting and after they've been in the podium. And then you get to say, hey, that really stuck with me. Can you elaborate more on what you talked about in your sermon? And then they basically talk to you like, it is your destined will to go on a mission trip.
And next thing you know, you're in Africa.
And next thing you know, you're in Africa on a flight by yourself from Charlotte to New York to Amsterdam to Liberia.
At and like 16, right?
I was 16. I was by myself.
That's wild to me. When I was 16, I couldn't even order my own food at a restaurant.
To be fair,
I still can't. I use mobile apps all the time.
I was the chosen one. Like, yeah. I literally thought that, because that's kind of the rhetoric in which a lot of people in church talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a problem. Like, whenever people say from a podium to a congregation of hundreds of people.
Well, I think even outside of a church, even if you look into like a school setting of mm-hmm. if a speaker comes in and they're speaking directly to the gifted kids class.
Yes.
And saying like, you're the chosen one for this. This is this great program.
You are destined for greatness.
You're destined to do this. You're the next generation of leaders.
God has chosen you in this room and all. And you can't speak in absolutes. There's two things you can't do to a group of people who are all so different.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot speak in absolutes and you cannot speak in generalization at all. whenever you put the two of those together, it's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, only a Sith deals in absolutes.
Exactly. Precisely. I know some things about Star Wars now because of Logan. I would never have got that until I married your cousin.
You're welcome. You did good.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, no, you're right. The people coming in and like, and it's not even necessarily like there are good causes and there's also things that are just to get gain. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, it was a lot of it is monetizing and exploiting gifted kids.
Mm-hmm.
And putting children in positions that children should have never been in to begin with.
As a 16-year-old, I should have never been on that plane, especially by myself. And that was exploitation.
It literally was. And then for that to be allowed is wild to me. And there are people who do that and that is their calling, but it doesn't mean it's for
everyone,
everybody. And in my experience and talking to these other people, when that was their calling and they did those things, they were not raised in the toxic environment in which we are speaking of. It was allowed to grow naturally in a healthy manner, supported, loved, you know, those sorts of things.
And they found their calling naturally.
Yes.
Me, I was told what my calling was 100 times. Like I would make art. Somebody would tell me my calling was art and that God was calling me to do art.
Mm-hmm.
I would sing. Somebody would come up to me emotional after a service saying that my voice led them to tears and that's my calling in life. So then I was like, okay, well, I thought my calling was this. So I guess it's this now. Maybe it's both. And so I have to like go for both. And then I take pictures and people are like, oh my God, your pictures, they just tell a story. You have to keep doing this. This is your calling.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm now doing three things. And then somebody tells me, you have a voice and you are such a good like conversationalist and you're really good at like getting a room to notice and to listen to you. Like you should totally be a public speaker. So then I'm pursuing four things. And it just keeps...
Please hold.
Please
you're hold. Next in line. We'll take you at the call center.
Like, literally.
Literally, you're just like backed up with all of these things that people are telling you, this is what you need to do. You need to do this. You need to do this. Like, and it's so hard to figure out where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to do. And it creates all this unnecessary anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a whole generation who is suddenly being diagnosed with crippling anxiety,
ADHD,
PTSD,
I mean,
people even borderline. Being diagnosed with autism, saying they're on the spectrum, like all of
and
these
they
things,
never knew.
Yeah, they never knew. All of these things overlap, but it's why don't can we not look at the way an entire generation
is raising these children?
Yeah, the way we were raised, the way we were talked to, the way that burdens were put on our shoulders, which granted, 9/11 did happen. 9/11 did change a lot of things.
I think that is a good point that you make.
9/11 pivoted a lot of things.
Because everybody had to change the world after that.
Everybody had to change the world. A lot of people had to grow up really quick. Me personally, I had to grow up really fast.
Because your father was in the military.
My dad
very
left.
Vital job.
My dad left on 9/12. And I didn't see him again for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, my birthday is in April. And he missed my 7th birthday. Because we have it recorded. And so, again, I had to grow up very fast. And it was because I was a gifted child, these things happened. The other children in my class, we all were made to suddenly, the world is on your shoulders. You have to fix these things. And it was a lot. And so for me personally, as a homeschooling stay-at-home mom, it's why I will never tell my kids they have to change the world. The world's problems are not their problems. Money, not their problem. They are allowed to be who they are. Mm-hmm. I tell them they're allowed to be who God calls them to be. And again, with the talent thing, I specifically tell my kids that God gives them talents and it's their choice on what they can do with it. Because
not the screaming, the talent screaming. Speaking itself.
that one sounded a little bit like Maverick starting to fight. So, but it's, I specifically tell them that they are allowed to use their talents for what they feel God is calling them to do. I never tell them what they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a huge, huge difference because I'm giving them the choice and the freedom in that.
It's all about choice.
Yes. And it's allowing them to grow, you know, going back to spirituality and their faith, and it's allowing them to grow in what they discern as God telling them to do.
A healthy relationship with
exactly.
church.
Instead of being told what they have to do and where they have to
which
be.
Which I still don't have.
And what's expected of them. We'll get there, Katie.
We will get there.
We'll get there. We're getting here, guys. But it's more about the freedom of choice and the freedom of being. Yes, you are this gifted child, but you are still a child.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the huge, huge thing. And that was the huge disservice that happened to me personally and my generation of being told that we were children, but we had to do adult things and fix adult things.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas my kid, I'm constantly reminding him, you're not an adult.
Yeah.
You're a kid.
It's okay. Stop worrying about that.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it's okay to be a kid. It's okay. You don't have to do these things. You're allowed to just read as many books as you want and then go outside and throw dirt at your siblings. Like,
yeah,
you know,
that's normal.
And this isn't to, like, you know, this is not a bash on anyone. I don't think, because I don't think anyone had any ill will in the way that I was talked to or I was, you know.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
It's literally, they think that they're changing your life by saying that, because I think they were also raised by a generation that told them that they had to instill that.
Exactly.
I think it's just it's a domino effect. Like it happens like that. I also wanted to say, cause you were talking about how you homeschool. And the reason why I'm choosing to homeschool is because I don't want what we're talking about to be out of my control. Like, I don't want to send them somewhere where they are taught that, because 8 hours of the day, I don't get to put that. I don't get to put positive thinking into their brain. Like, I'm leaving them at the hands of people that could either be extremely equipped or not equipped at all to teach them well.
100%. Yes.
And that's mostly why I am going to be homeschooling.
Yes.
That's like my biggest reason for that.
It's, for me, with the homeschooling, one, I have control over it. Again, in a way of my kids' safety.
Yes.
What thoughts are put into their head. And that's not to say that, like, I'm brainwashing my child. But as the person who physically birthed my kid,
I think it's a healthy attachment. I don't think it's brainwashing.
Yeah, I get top priority over what their reality is.
Yes. Because so, you gave them life.
Exactly. I gave them life. And if anyone has a problem with that, I'll take yours.
Yes.
And yeah, moving on. I like being violent, and I'm not sorry.
It's okay.
So
we all do. And if anybody says that they aren't that way, they're lying.
My love language is violence. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But with the homeschooling, I can control what goes into his day. I can see if he's in the mood to even learn, if mm-hmm. he has the capacity that
that's
day.
A big deal.
Exactly.
If they're in the mood, because if they're not, like, that's normal.
They're not. Yeah. Because if biologically, the kid isn't in the mood, they're not going to be receptive to anything. He's not going to remember anything.
Biologically, that is normal. And it's okay to have days off. And school publicly does not teach that.
Exactly. And there's days where because Maximus is first grade, Aurora is preschool age. There's like, we haven't done school today because we're here. We took a field trip. And so it's like, I get to ease these thoughts into his mind. He doesn't have to have like this crushing thing of like, we have to get this done at this time and move on because we've got to hit this. And you didn't understand. Well, we've got to move on anyway. Like, I can take it day by day.
We have to leave you behind because everybody else has to learn.
Exactly. So my kids will never have to get left behind because I go at their pace. Mm-hmm. I can let them know that it's okay. Hey, you didn't necessarily master this subject, but you have an understanding of it. But I can tell that this isn't exactly what your brain is geared for. That's okay. You're still talented. You're still smart. Like, we can move forward. You know, being intelligent is a good thing, but knowing everything isn't important.
Yeah.
Which I think was a huge thing for me because I felt like I had to know everything. Feel like I have to know everything.
There's a lot of things that, like, I experienced in the church that were, like, awful. But I remember one thing that my dad said from the pulpit that stuck with me for years is wisdom happens when you decide that you do not know it all. And that has stuck with me for years. That's something that he has said to a congregation where I'm like, yep, the second I heard that, I was like, yeah, that's probably going to stick with me mm-hmm. for a really long time, because it's true. And I had to really think about it, because whenever I heard him say it, I was like 15. And I was like, wait, what does that mean? And I like wrote it down. I kept looking at it and I was like, wisdom is when you don't know it all. And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. Because I thought wisdom is
when you know everything. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that that's a good quote to start phasing out of this with. But I think that this has been a great, great informative episode. I hope that a lot of people resonate.
Yes, if you resonate with the formerly gifted child turned adult with crippling anxiety pipeline, let us know.
We would love to hear.
There's so many of us, and you're not alone. And
we should start a Facebook group.
There's a support group for us. You have people who understand. It's okay if sometimes you forget how to read, and while you were driving, you got your left and your rights mixed up like 17 times.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yes.
But everyone is loved, and you're all talented in your own ways. And this was good.
This was a good one.
I'm genuinely surprised we got as much peace and quiet as we did.
Round of applause. That's on good parenting, kind of.
That's on Aunt Crystal / Mimi.
That's on the kids. That's on Mimi having the patience of God himself.
Of a freaking saint, yeah.
Because it's something
couldn't
I don't
be
have.
Me. Could not be me.
Let's see, we have a 3-month-old. We have two almost 3-year-olds. A 4-year-old and a 7-year-old.
A 7-year-old that doesn't stop talking. He's given a question limit. I don't know if I
You've told me that.
Yeah, he is given a question limit because...
Yep, no more questions.
He'll go, well, I thought you knew everything. And I'm like, I know that you need to be quiet. This is what I know. You should be quiet right now. And he burns through his question limit by 8:30 in the morning.
Oh, right. Poor guy.
What a gifted child.
What a gifted child.
What a gifted child.
You're not an adult, so you can go with the less questions.
Yeah, it's okay. You don't need to know. Literally, I'm like, you don't need to know. Steven will go, what are you going to do with that information?
Yeah.
And he goes, I don't know.
Store it.
Like, exactly.
Literally just store it. And then your brain's going to hurt. So maybe we just shouldn't tell you the answer. Because, mm-hmm. You know, my brain hurts.
He just throws it back in our face later. Remember when you said this thing?
I won't be talking anymore. Thank you.
Raising a new generation of gifted children. And we're out here. We're doing it. I don't know what they're doing. Please leave that audio in.
I hope it's picked up because one time he was screaming in the background because one of them woke up and it didn't pick up whenever I got it to my computer. Because this is such good equipment. So it's like I want you to hear it, but at the same time, it's good that you can't. It means I bought the right equipment. So,
yeah.
I mean.
Well, anyway, this was fantastic. Thank you for having me.
Yes.
This was wonderful.
Thanks for bringing your hoodlums to my house.
They do be pretty hood.
Mm-hmm. Hood and lum.
Hood and the lum all in one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure I'll be back.
Oh, she will. Okay, so Dakota definitely will be back.
I do have a lot to say.
Whether it's via Zoom or via here, it's something where it will be.
One thing about me is I always have something to say.
She has something to yap about.
I do.
Just like me.
Yappers unite.
She's just the slightly older, slightly wiser version of me we're both about the same amount of unstable. So, and this is why we work. Hopefully you don't block me again soon. It's okay.
Guys, she doesn't know she's already blocked.
Dang. That's crazy. That's crazy. I will be checking to make sure that you're not lying about that.
I did not actually block you. Wait. I think, no, before Steven deleted his Instagram, you guys were still blocked on everything on there. He was like, it's not that I have a problem with them. I'm just too lazy to unblock them. But that was also like...
Understandably.
Years ago.
Oh, that's also whenever all of us were unhinged in 2020 and it was embarrassing.
Unhinged.
All of us were on Facebook and we all should have not been on Facebook. Me specifically more than anybody else. But all of us, the arguing over Facebook with your family members... We needed jail time.
Straight to jail. What a wild time.
We needed jail time. And I will be doing an episode about 2020, but that one's going to be a solo episode because I don't need anybody else to re-traumatize me than myself.
Guys, don't worry. I'll be texting her, re-traumatizing her. I'm going to come back with the screenshots.
Do you have them?
I do not have any screenshots. I'm kidding. I didn't care that much.
I deactivated that account because I'm embarrassed. So don't be bringing that.
Which takes us into our next episode, how social media gives a false sense of having a platform, then people want to hear what you have to say.
Even when you have 5 followers.
Fun fact, no one actually cares what you have to say.
Fun fact.
Which is ironic that we're saying this on a podcast.
But the podcast, I don't care if people actually listen to this.
Yeah.
This is literally
my creative outlet so that I don't go crazy whenever I stop doing photography. That's the reason I started this.
That's fair.
Because I'm good at talking and I can just yap, and whether people listen to it or not and I get monetization from it or not, I don't care. It's just nice to get these thoughts out of my brain so that I don't puke.
This is literally Katie and I taking one of our phone conversations and
putting it on the internet.
Here. Like, that's literally like exactly what it is.
Yes.
And there's been straight up times like talking on a phone where I was like, Katie, I'm not done talking. And you were like, right, sorry. And I was like, Katie, hang on. Katie, hang on. It's just.
My bad.
We love self-awareness.
Okay.
All right. This was fantastic. It was super fun. Can't wait to be
now
back.
We have to go get our children.
Do I have to? Okay. Bye.
Bye.